In his new book entitled Hope, Living Fearlessly in a Scary World, author Dr. David Jeremiah tells the story of the Andrea Gale. Do any of you know that name, Andrea Gale? Some of you do. He writes, when the Andrea Gale left Gloucester Harbor in Massachusetts on September 20th, 1991, and headed into the North Atlantic, no one could have known that this fishing boat would never be seen again. Only a bit of debris ever turned up, and the six crew members vanished forever. In his book, The Perfect Storm, author Sebastian Younger immortalized the fate of the Andrea Gale. A film followed featuring George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg. But these stars, big as they are, played only a supporting role. The real star was the storm itself. A terrifying, relentless suppressor born of fierce wind and mountainous waves. It was the meteorologists who named this cataclysmic tempest the perfect storm. Dr. Jeremiah says, I might not have used the word perfect to describe something so terrible. But once you understand the meteorologist's usage of the perfect storm, it makes perfect sense. It is merely a vivid way of saying the worst case scenario. In the case of the Andrea Gale, it was the simultaneous occurrence of the toughest weather conditions possible. Three deadly elements came together in October of 1991. A front moving from Canada toward New England. A high pressure system building up over Canada's east coast. And the dying remnants of Hurricane Grace moving along the eastern seaboard of the United States. Strong weather was coming from three different points of the four points of the compass, and it was descending upon the Andrea Gale. The last radio transmission of Billy Tyne, the captain of the fishing boat, came at 6 p.m. on October 28, 1991. He reported his coordinates to the captain of a sister ship, and then he said, "She's a coming on, boys, and she's a coming on strong." And that's the last word from Andrea Gale. The popular book and movie brought the term perfect storm into common usage. But again, Dr. Jeremiah says, but the concept is as old as humanity. People have always had to deal with convergence of multiple rough circumstances. So much can go wrong so fast that we say things like, when it rains, it pours. It pours. We've all been there, haven't we? I'm looking up. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all encountered the storms. Well, I want you to take your Bibles this morning. I want you to open them up to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. We're going to be looking at verses 23 through 27. Tells the story about the time when the disciples of Jesus were caught out on the lake in a great storm. Now, as you're turning there, let me just give the context here, okay? Matthew is the gospel of the king. It shows the kingship of Jesus. In chapters 1 through 4, we have the pedigree and the presentation of the king, King Jesus. Remember even the Magi came, where is he who is born king of the Jews? We have the pedigree and the presentation of the king. In chapters 5 through 7, we have the precepts of the king. We've been talking about that the last three Sundays. The Sermon on the Mount, he gives the precepts of the king or of the kingdom. Now in chapters 8 and 9, we have the power of the king. The power of the king. And that is shown in 10 miracles. In chapters 8 and 9, there are 10 miracles that are done that show us the power of the king, King Jesus. And today we want to look at these verses in verse 23 through 27, and we see that King Jesus had the power even over nature, the forces of nature. Let's look at these verses. I want to read these verses. You follow along. Chapter 8, verse 23 through 27. When he, that is Jesus, got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him up, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Now today, what I want to do is I want to look at this portion of Scripture, but I want to look at it in a very practical way. I want to look at it and learn lessons on how to navigate the storms of life. Because I believe this has a lot to speak to us today about how to navigate the storms of life. And what I'd like to share with you is four things that we must know if we are going to be able to navigate the storms of life. Number one, we must know that the storms are a normal part of life. And that's probably not news to you, but they're a normal part of life. And we all, don't think like you're the only one, we all will encounter many storms in life. See, the disciples that day, they got into the boat with Jesus and they began to cross the Sea of Galilee. And let me tell you, the Sea of Galilee, many years ago, I was out on the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and it's approximately 8 miles wide. It's surrounded by mountains, and those mountains, wind often comes down the valley between those mountains. It's funneled down between the mountains, cold air, and when it meets the warm, moist air of the Sea of Galilee, violent storms can rise. Like that. Thankfully, the day I was out on the Sea of Galilee, that did not happen. That didn't happen. But it can happen. When they went out, it seems like that when they started out, it looked like good weather. I mean, there was no hesitancy to go out. But they got out there, and at some point, as quick as a snap of a finger, a violent storm arose. Now, I thought about that. You know what? In life, there's many kinds of storms. Many kinds of physical storms, aren't there? There's wind storms, there's snow storms, there's electrical storms, there's sand storms, there's tornadoes, there's hurricanes, and you go on and on. A lot of kinds of storms in life, physical storms. But you know what? There's a lot of kinds of storms that are not physical storms that hit our lives. There's accidents, there's sickness, there's depression, there's suicide, there's a child that gets in trouble or gets hurt, there's death of a loved one, there's problems in relationships, there's marital storms, there are occupational storms, financial storms. We could go on and on. Just like there's all kinds of physical storms, there's all kinds of life storms. And just like this storm that hit that boat of the disciples, it came suddenly, unexpectedly. Many storms are like that. You know, wake up one morning and the telephone rings. You answer it and you're in a storm. You go to the doctor, routine physical. Get in, get out quick. But the doctor's face tells the story, and you're in a storm. You go to work one morning, and your boss calls you into the office, and you're in a storm. You're driving your car home, and you go through an intersection, and somebody runs a red light, and you're in a storm. Life is like that. Life is filled with storms. And they arise suddenly, violently, without warning. And just like that storm that hit the boat 2,000 years ago. We all encounter them as we travel the sea of life. It's part of this world. Jesus said it, didn't he? In this world, you might have tribulation. Is that what he said? You will have tribulation. You will have storms. It's not a matter if you do or you don't. And you know what Satan does? What the enemy does? He makes you think you're the only one. I've had people tell me in church, boy, I wish I was so-and-so, man. They have a great life. I was just at their house, and you wouldn't want to be so-and-so. They're in such a storm, but other people don't know. We all encounter the storm. It's part of being in this world. Somebody has said everybody is in one of three places. You are either entering a storm, you are either in a storm, or you are emerging from a storm. We all go through storms. But I want you to see something here. We encounter storms even when we follow Jesus. Even when we follow Jesus. Now, I mention this because some would suggest that if you are going through problems, you are going through storms, you must not be following God. You must be out of the will of the Lord. Now, what about that? To be sure, when we sin and when we disobey God, can that bring problems? Oh, yeah, it sure can. We can create our own storms. I heard some great messages from a great preacher just a little bit ago, Pastor Jeremy. Remember on Jonah? Do you remember that, Pastor Jeremy? And what God said, I want you to go to preach in Nineveh. And he said, God, I got a better idea. Never say that. I got a better idea. I'm going to Tarshish. And what did he encounter? Storm, right? And it brought a lot of discomfort. In fact, he got down in the mouth. brought on his own storm. Can we do that? Oh, yeah. And our storms can affect our families. It can affect our church. Just like his storm affected the sailors on that ship. So we can bring on our own storms. But listen, not every storm is because we're in disobedience. You can be right in the will of God. Look at verse 23. Look what it says. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. They were following Jesus. In fact, Luke, I believe this is recorded, by the way, in Mark 4 and also in Luke 8. And I believe it's in Luke 8 that Jesus says, hey guys, let's go over to the other side. Come on. They were following the Lord. They were right in the center of God's will. Right there. You see, God's will is not always for smooth seas. You hear me that? God's will is not always for smooth seas or for a nice cruise. God's will can lead you right into the center of a storm. So, when you're in a storm, good thing to do is first of all evaluate, right? Why am I here? What's going on here? I'm experiencing it. And I'll tell you what, can I say this? There's a lot of you right now that are going through storms. That you are. And we got to say, Lord, is there something I need to change in my life? Am I here because of something that I need to change? Or is this your will for me right now? And pray and ask the Lord. But don't be surprised. And listen, you're not the only one. Don't let the enemy tell you that. I'm the only one in this storm. I'll tell you what, you've got brothers and sisters here that are in tremendous storms. But storms, we've got to realize, number one, that storms are a normal part of life. Number two, we must know that Jesus, listen to this, Jesus does care when you're in a storm. He cares. You see, ask the question, where was Jesus when the storm hit and what was he doing? Where was he? If you look over in Mark 4, I'll tell you where he was. He was in the stern of the ship on a pillow or on a mat. What was he doing? He was sleeping. He was sleeping. And the disciples approach him. And here in Matthew 8, they say, save us, Lord. We're perishing. In Luke 8, they say, Master, Master, we're perishing. But Mark 4, you know what they said? They go to wake Jesus up. They say, Teacher, don't you care? We're perishing. Don't you care? Folks, the disciples had three big problems. They encountered three problems. You know what they were? Number they had a seismic storm, they had a sinking ship, and they had a sleeping Savior. Man, that's what they encountered. Three problems. Seismic storm. Sinking ship. Sleeping Savior. This is the only place, folks, in Scripture where we have Jesus sleeping. And it's right in the middle of a storm. Can you imagine that? And you know what it appeared to them? It appeared to his disciples that he didn't care. Teacher, don't you care? Have you ever been there? You go through a storm, and it seems God is not caring. Lord, don't you care? My child is sick. Lord, don't you care? My marriage is falling apart. Lord Jesus, don't you care? I'm so lonely. Lord, don't you care? I have no money. I can't pay my rent. Don't you care, Lord? Lord, don't you care? My friend, the person I had fellowship with, turned his back on me and stabbed me in the... Don't you care, Lord? Have you ever been there? I'm going to tell you. There's been times in my life when I went through storms and I thought, where are you, God? Where are you? So God's got a message for us. And the message is this: I do care. You that are going through a storm right now, he says to you, I care. I really care. In fact, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. I do care. You may feel like God's sleeping, but he's saying, I care for you. Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast your cares. Don't you care? Cast your cares on me because I do care for you. I want you to know that. God cares. We have a sympathetic, compassionate, high priest, Savior in heaven who cares about us. He cares. And not, listen, not only does he care, he's in control. Jesus was sleeping. He's in control. He's in control. He cares and he's in control. I love that. I love a lot of the old hymns. I gotta be honest with you. I love a lot of the old hymns. I love that old hymn, Does Jesus Care? Do you remember that? In those stanzas, he asks a bunch of questions. He says, does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and my way grows weary and long? Does Jesus care when my way is dark with nameless dread and fear, as daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief through my tears, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches until it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? But then he answers with faith, and he says, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. And when the days grow weary and the long nights dreary, no, my Savior cares. I'll tell you, if we're going to navigate the storms of life, sometimes you're going to think, you know, does God really care? He loves you. He cares for you. He's touched. And you know what? He's in control. A third thing we need to know if we're going to navigate the storms of life is this. We need to know that there is no storm too big for for Jesus to handle. Amen? No storm too big for him to handle. You know, our text, this was a huge storm. This was a huge storm. The text in verse 24 says it was a great storm. That word is there, is seismos, from which we get seismic. It's a strange word to describe a storm because it literally means a shaking. It was like the whole lake was shaking. It was a seismic storm. Over in Mark, it says it was a mega storm. It was a furious squall. Some even think that this storm was not even an ordinary storm, that it was a satanic storm. One author writes this: most Bible scholars believe this storm in Matthew 8 was devil-driven. Because of verse 26, it says Jesus rebuked the storm. Jesus oft said is said to have rebuked demons. In Luke 8, the same storm is written about, and Jesus said, "Be still." In the Greek language, it's the word for muzzling a dog. It is possible that this storm was another attempt of Satan to destroy Jesus. I don't know if it was Satan-driven or not. I don't know. But I do know that the waves were coming up over the boat. And the boat was filling up, it says here. It says that the waves covered the boat. The boat was filling up with water, and they were going down. I do know this was a perfect storm. It was a perfect storm. It was a big one. It's a coming on, boys, and it's coming on strong. I can hear Peter saying that in the boat. Several of these men were fishermen. They were out on the sea often, went through some storm. They were afraid. They were fearful. Save us, Lord, we're perishing. And Jesus, look at verse 26. He responds with a gentle rebuke. He says, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Did you hear what he said? He wakes up and says, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" I think if I were there, I would say, "What? Are you serious? Look what's happening! Look at the waves! Look! We're about to go down! Why are we afraid?" But Jesus gets to the real core of the matter, doesn't he? See, it wasn't primarily the circumstances that made them fear. Yes, they were afraid of the circumstances. But the real cause of fear was a lack of faith. Did you get that? The real cause was a lack of faith. I read this. One author said, fear, and this is on your sheet, fear is looking at God through your circumstances. Faith is looking at your circumstances through God. Ooh. Get that? Fear is looking at God through your circumstances. Faith is looking at your circumstances through God. And so Jesus says, "Oh, you got a little faith." In fact, you look over, that's not, you don't say that just once. He gets up and says, you know, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" But after he rebuked the wind and the waves, according to Luke chapter 8, he also said, "Where's your faith? Where is your faith?" I'll tell you, in the storms of life, we need faith. We need to look at the circumstances through our God. They were focusing on the storm and on the wind and on the waves and their circumstances, and they were afraid. But after gently rebuking his disciples, Jesus gets up and he rebukes the storm. "Peace! Be still. He rebukes the storm. The Message version writes, "Awake now, Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and they became perfectly calm. He said, 'Pipe down,' and he said to the sea, 'Quiet, settle down,' and the wind ran out of breath, and the sea became smooth as glass." But I like what Pastor Tony Evans, how he presents it. I love Tony Evans. He's great. He says that Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind looked over at the waves and said, "Did you hear that?" Glass. You see, this was a monster storm. This was the perfect storm. It was nothing for our Jesus. It was nothing for our Jesus. You see, there's no storm of life that we go through that he can't handle. Amen? Amen. No storm of life. All he has to do is stand up and say, "Peace, be still." So I hear somebody saying, "Why doesn't he? I'm in a storm. Why doesn't Jesus stand up and say, 'Peace, be still'? Why doesn't he take the storm away?" Did you ever think about that? Why doesn't he? I mean, sometimes he does. I've prayed with people that had sicknesses that were fatal, were to be fatal. And you know what? Jesus took the storm away. But why doesn't he always do that? Sometimes he stands up and says, "Peace, be still," to the storm, and it goes away. But sometimes, you know what he does? He stands up and says to us, "Peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God." See, sometimes he speaks to the storm and says, "Peace, be still." Sometimes he speaks to our heart and gives us peace amidst the storm and helps us to weather the storm. But there is no storm that we go through that our Savior cannot handle. We just need to take those storms to him. Now, this leads us to number four. First of all, we have to know that storms are a normal part of life. Second of all, we have to know that Jesus cares in the midst of the storm. Third of all, we need to know no storm that he is too big for him to handle. And fourth, we need to know that storms we encounter, listen to this, have a divine purpose. They have a divine purpose. Jesus led these disciples right into this storm. Why did he do it? Why does he allow storms to hit our lives? I want to suggest four reasons for them, okay? Number one, he allows storms to strengthen our faith. To strengthen our faith. Remember, Jesus addressed the disciples, and he addressed them, and he said, "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" You see, what he's trying to do many times when he leads us into storms, their faith was small. It needed to grow. And the only way that you grow faith and strengthen faith is through storms and trials. Is that true? Amen. There was a sign. I used to live up in Michigan. I repented and moved to Ohio. Sorry, any Michigan people watching. But when I lived up in Michigan, in Livonia, Michigan, there was a sign on the outside of a restaurant that I read many years ago, and I said I'd never forget it, and I never have. And that sign read, "A smooth sea never made a skillful mariner." A smooth sea never made a skillful mariner. Warren Wiersbe used to say, "A faith untested is a faith unsure." Faith is like a muscle. To grow, it's got to be what? Got to exercise. You got to exercise the muscle to grow. Faith is like that. It's got to be exercised. And if it's not exercised, it atrophies. And so sometimes God brings storms into our lives to exercise our faith, to grow our faith, to make us strong in faith. He brings on the storm. Second reason God allows storms. He allows storms to make us more compassionate. To make us more compassionate. If we never encountered storms, we wouldn't be able to empathize or minister to people that are going through storms. We'd be so critical. We'd be so judgmental. Boy, they don't do very well. But you know what? If you were in their storm, you may be struggling too. And when we go through the storms of life, He makes us more compassionate and sympathetic with other people that are going through storms. There's A.W. Tozer that said, "I have never gone through a river of difficulty that as I was exiting on the other side, I didn't encounter some pilgrim entering into the river that I could minister to." See, you know what He wants to do? He wants to take your storm and turn it into a ministry. Oh, that's good. There's a purpose. Do I like storms? I don't like storms. Do you like storms? But you know what? God allows us to go through storms, and He ministers to us so we can go minister to somebody else. And we can have compassion in our heart and love in our heart for someone else. A third reason He allows storms or causes storms. He allows storms, listen to this, to teach us more about God Himself. More about God. You see, you can learn a lot about God in your storm. In the storm of Matthew 8, what do we learn about Jesus? Well, when the storm hit, He's asleep in the ship. Again, this is the only place in Scripture that talks about Jesus sleeping. Why was He sleeping? I got a better question. How could He sleep? Do you ever think of that? How could He sleep through this? I'll tell you how He could sleep through it. He was totally exhausted. Totally exhausted. What does this teach us about Jesus? He was one of us. Do you get that? He's one of us. We have a Savior that got tired. We have a Savior that got hungry. We have a Savior that got thirsty. We have a Savior that knew what it was and to have grief, to lose a loved one. We have a Savior who was man. He's one of us. The humanity of Jesus Christ. That's what we learn in this storm. But what else do we learn in the storm? That man got up and rebuked the wind and the waves. What do we see there? That man was fully God. He was in control. He was sovereign. He was all omnipotent, all powerful. The disciples got a glimpse of this in this passage. They saw what. Can you imagine this? You imagine the perfect storm. And then all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Peace, be still." It's like a mirror. What would be going through your heart? Well, I'll tell you what. Luke chapter 8 tells us what was going through their heart. They became greatly fearful. They were more fearful now than when they were in the storm. What manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? They got a picture of the God-man, Jesus. You see, folks, when we go through storms, when did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what was their most precious religious spiritual experience? When they were where? In the fire, in the fiery furnace. Because you know what? They met Jesus there. Wow. You see, he's in the storm. He's trying to reveal himself to us, what he's like, who he is. When do you get to know God best? When things are all going just hunky-dory and everything's going good and no problems? Or when you're going through the tough times of life? I'm going to tell you, in my life, it's been when I've gone through some of the greatest trials that God has come to me and showed me himself. There's a man named John Patton, Scottish missionary back in the 19th century. He went to the New Hebride Islands and ministered to the savages there. And I'll tell you, his life was on the line all the time because these people, they actually wanted to kill him. He said, if I hadn't had the presence of God with me, I would have probably given up, I'd have left, but God was with me. But then he said this. He said, it was when I was facing the weapons right here in front of me, the weapons of the enemy, that I saw clearest the face of Christ. Wow. That's what God wants to do. Are you in a storm? Look for the Savior. Ask him, Lord, what are you trying to teach me about yourself? I want to get close to you, God. You're my life. You're my everything. I want to know you. Open your eyes. He wants to show you himself. And he does that many times in the storms of life. And then lastly, he allows storms to get our attention and to drive us to Jesus. When the storm hit, and it's a raging, it's coming on, boys, where'd they go? They went to Jesus. They went right to Jesus. That was good. They couldn't handle the storm. They couldn't navigate the storm on their own. So they went to Jesus. And he can use storms in the life of a Christian to drive us closer to him. He can use storms in life of a non-Christian to drive them to Jesus. It's like the old sea captain. It's a story. Old sea captain who was a vocal atheist. He was a vocal, I don't believe in God. There's no God. But one day, there was a storm. And the sea captain got washed overboard. And as he's out in the sea, out in the waves, the men on the ship are trying to get to him and trying to save him. And he's, God, help me. God, help me. Help me, Lord. They saved him. They got him back on board. And one of the men went to him and said, "Now, I didn't think you believed in God." And this is what he said. "Well, if there isn't a God, there ought to be one for times like this." And you know, that's what God does. Sometimes he's got to get our attention. Amen? Amen? He's got to get our attention to draw us closer to him. Sometimes with people that have never come to Christ yet. Might even be religious. And I'm going to tell a story on my wife. Now I've got all your attention. But this is how my wife came to Christ. She was very religious. She would go to church during the week to do these prayers and to do these things. And she was religious. But then a crisis came into her life when she was in college. Not with me, no. Yeah, she met me. Actually, a man that she was dating before me got cancer. Young man, I think 20 years old, is terminal cancer. And you know what? She tried to fall back on her religion, and religion didn't help her. She ended up transferring from her Clarion College up to Penn State, where we met. And she was, my religion doesn't help me. And a woman from Campus Crusade for Christ came and shared Jesus with her and how Jesus died for her sins and rose from the dead. And you can have not a religion, you can have a relationship. And she received Christ. God used a storm to drive her to Jesus. And then I was her first witnessing project. Use that storm too. But you see how God does that? He does. You see, you know, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, and you're encountering a storm, you know what? God's trying to get your attention. He's trying to say, you need Jesus. You need Christ. Looking at the future and realizing, you know what? Storms are going to come. Listen, I'm going to use my gift of encouragement. You're going to have storms. Aren't you encouraged? But you are going to have storms. So my question is Jesus in your boat? No, wait. No, that's not the question. Are you in Jesus' boat? Because he makes all the difference in the storms of life. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Lord, we just bow before you and we thank you that we have such a compassionate, gracious, merciful Savior. And Lord, you have weathered all the storms of life and even went to the cross for our sins. But Lord, you defeated death. You overcame. There's no storm in life that you can't overcome. And we're just thankful for that, Lord. Help us, I pray, that as we go through the storms of life, just to go to you, to be driven to you, to know you, to love you, to grow our faith, Lord. We accept the storms. We don't like them, but we accept them because we know you have a purpose in those storms to conform us to the image of your Son. Lord, I pray for people right now in this congregation. I know there are people that are going through some perfect storms. Would you help them, Lord? Would you remind them that you're there with them? Would you show them your love and care? You care for them? And I pray that they would see you in the midst of the storm. Help them, Lord. There's others here today, Lord. They've never really come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe religious, just like my wife was very, very religious. But they don't have a relationship. Would you speak to their hearts today? You love them, Lord. You brought them here today. You had them watch online so that they could come to a personal relationship with you. You said, call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Dad, just ask, tell them you trust in him. He died for your sins. Tell him you believe. You know he rose from the dead. He's living. Ask him to come into your life this morning. Invite him into your boat. Get in his boat. Save people, Lord. We love you. Thank you. Praise you. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.